Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm Lisa Carpenter, master life coach to driven, ambitious humans who want more out of life without having to sacrifice themselves to achieve it. I'll share how it's possible to slow down, take better care of yourself, find more peace and ease, create sustainable energy, stop procrastination and overwhelm, and fall in love with your life, your business, and your body. This podcast is for you if you're ready to learn what it takes to thrive as a high performer, do less but achieve more, make you and your well-being a top priority, and create your extraordinary life. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm super excited today because I have my friend Jody with me, who has gone through an amazing physical and emotional transformation. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but you know, I wanted to bring Jody on today because she really shows what's possible for women at any age. Now, Jody is not my client. I did not guide her through this. She's actually been working with my fitness coach and through the Wonder Woman. I will put all those links in the show notes. I'm going to put all of Jody's information in the show notes so you can go follow her on Instagram. But I thought we could have a really amazing conversation just about what it takes to get over your excuses if you are not loving the skin that you're in and actually create lasting transformation. And so much of it has to do with your identity, letting go of the old identity and stepping into the new identity. So Jody, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody. Let everybody know who you are and what you do in the world. And let's chat about where this all started for you, because honestly, like, I've been really blown away at the very minute role that I played in all of this.
Well, thank you. It's so great to be here. So I am currently 52. I am the founder and CEO of a public relations agency focused on technology, a real tech geek at heart. So that's just something that I've always loved to do. I work from home. I have worked from home long before the pandemic even started. My business has been completely virtual for 22 years. And I work with people, with clients and my team all throughout the US and Canada. So, you know, I've always had flexibility to do the things that I want to do during the day. I meet with clients. I get my workouts done. I just kind of fit everything that I need to fit into a day. I've always actually loved working out. I've been doing that since I was a teenager, and my husband and I, we always joke because we've worked out together since we met each other when I was 15, and we continue to do that today. So it's just something that I've really continued. But yeah, this journey has been incredible, and I'm excited to share details on that.
So you, I'm going to assume, spent the front half of your life after kids and stuff, really focusing on growing your business and your family and not really prioritizing yourself. Is that fair to say?
I would actually say that I've never prioritized myself until I started actually on my health journey beginning of January 2022. So yeah, this is the first time ever. I have always put everyone and everything else ahead of me, and not sort of really realize the consequences of doing that until now. And now it's, you know, I come first. It's, you know, that analogy that we all talk about, putting your oxygen mask on first before you help somebody else on an airplane. And it's so true in our lives, and it's truly game changing.
What I thought was really interesting too, is I saw one of your Instagram posts and that you'd never ever picked up a mindset book or a self-help book before in your life. And I've been so immersed in that world for, you know, decades now. This was mind-blowing to me because there's so much wisdom that comes out of when you start to recognize that you're living in these stories and beliefs and identities that don't serve you, but you had no frame of reality beyond that. Well, and then you met me and I was living an entirely different life from you. When was that? 2017?
February 2018, we met. Yeah. And I know you always say it's a small part that you played in sort of my transformation, but you know, it's quite interesting how people connect and sort of you meet with people and you don't really realize what kind of role that they're going to play in your life. And we met obviously, and as you do with meeting, you know, a variety of women, I think there were what, maybe 30, 40 women, you connect on Instagram, you follow what each other is doing. And you shared some amazing posts, obviously showing that you're doing these physique competitions. And I was like, that's not my thing, definitely not. And then you also shared your coach. And I'm like, great body, not my thing. And then you happened to share a post of, you know, Trish, this Phoenix Rising on Instagram. And I was like, oh, I want what she's done. You know, I want that. And through that initial connection, I reached out to her and got some insights on that and ultimately ended up applying. So every time I think about me starting my journey, yes, I know I've put in the work, but I would never have connected with the community if not for you. So I just always like to remind people that sometimes you meet people, you don't necessarily know there and then why you've met them, but the answer will soon become evident, maybe a year, maybe 2 years later, whatever it is, but take those opportunities.
It's such a powerful story because I think so often we show up in the world, and I know this has been true for me, where especially nowadays with social media, right? Like people are watching you. I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. Half the time I'm like, is anybody even paying attention to what I'm doing? And you often don't know the impact that you've had on somebody else. And you just need to keep showing up and doing what you're doing. And I know I've gone through really big periods where I had to make peace with my workouts, the things that were important to me, right? Because I think everybody goes through periods of feeling, you know, it's usually self-judgment, right? But we're worried about how other people are going to judge us, especially when I decided to step back into going on stage again. It's, you know, what are people going to think about this? You know, how can I be a world-class coach and also be like walking around in next to nothing? And I did have women shame me over that. So it's really cool to hear that it impacted you in a positive way. What I'm curious to know, though, is after spending a lifetime of not prioritizing yourself or, you know, minimally prioritizing yourself, what was the thing that flipped for you that you're like, I really want this for myself? So I know you followed Trish, and I'll put Trish's information down below as well. She's super inspiring. But like, what was it that was like, I need to do this for me now? Was there anything that happened in your world that created that?
Yeah, actually at the start of the pandemic, firstly, let me just kind of take a step back. I've been in perimenopause for like a good five or 6 years, something like that, the joys of being a woman. Anyway, at the start of the pandemic, I was in a brain fog, but this was a brain fog unlike anything that I'd experienced through perimenopause. And literally, it's like me not remembering your name. It's like me not remembering my husband's name, going into the kitchen, opening up the fridge and thinking, what's this big appliance called? Like, that serious, like things that are just part of your everyday. And I called my doctor and I said, I need you to test me for early onset Alzheimer's. And she's like, okay, come in. And I did. I went into her and she went through all the testing that you would usually do for somebody, just to see if further testing or evaluation is needed. And it was kind of shocking, actually. You go through these tests, you have to, she'll give you like five words. And throughout the whole process of being evaluated, you have to be able to recall those five words. You go through other things like being able to tell time on a watch. Everything was great, except for my recall. Those five words, I probably could really only remember two or three when she'd asked me throughout the process. Ultimately, at the end of it, she said, okay, you don't have early onset Alzheimer's, thank God. But I'm really concerned about your recall. I'm concerned about the brain fog. And she said to me, you know, she didn't say anything about my weight. I was very overweight. I was literally 16 pounds heavier than I was at full term pregnancy with either of my kids. But she said to me, how's your nutrition? And I was like, oh, it's terrible. My nutrition is so bad. And she said, tell me about it. And I did. And quite honestly, I was not eating enough. And when I was eating, it was the wrong food. Three times a week, I'd probably grab a big bag of all dressed chips and have that for dinner after having maybe a brunch that day, you know, like eggs and turkey bacon, that kind of thing. So I was just eating very poorly, eating very little protein, but to the point where not only was I having this brain fog, but I didn't have the energy to get up in the morning. I would go to bed at like 1:30 in the morning, wake up at 8 o'clock and be absolutely exhausted. I could not get out of bed and go and exercise. I just wanted to curl it back up under the covers. It was just a horrible time. And one thing that was interesting is that I really learned to love hiking through the pandemic. But I was exhausted. Like I'd go for like a 5 kilometer hike and just be completely out of breath, walking up my stairs. I knew that something had to change. So my doctor said, okay, can we deal with nutrition? I said, okay, I'm going to try Weight Watchers. You know, I've lost weight with that before. And of course I'm equating nutrition to weight loss. I'm not equating it to actually healthy eating. So I said, okay, let me try Weight Watchers. I go back to Weight Watchers and it worked great for me twice. You know, I did it after each of my kids were born, lost 30 pounds, whatever. I could never maintain it, of course, not reminding myself about that. And it didn't work. I just could not budge any of the weight. The brain fog remained. Then I thought, okay, well, maybe this is a mindset thing. So this is where all the books and the mindset books come in. And I thought, okay, let me try Noom. It didn't help either because both of those programs are so flexible where you can really eat whatever you want. So how does it really help me? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I got to the point where messaging with Trish, trying to understand sort of what she went through. My coach now, your coach, Michelle, put out a note, I think it was July of 2021, to say that in September, she's doing a call for her transformation program and put in your name to get the application, and applications will open September. So I did that. I got the application. I had no idea what I was applying for. I knew I wanted what Trish had. And I put in the application. It was hard to do because I had to learn how to do macros. I had to record myself doing a Romanian deadlift. I had no clue what that was, despite the fact that I'd worked out with a trainer for 16 years, ultimately just as an accountability to show up at the gym. And I had to do a squat. And I'm so glad that I actually have these on video because I look back today and it's just mind blowing. And I was set to take like pictures of me looking today and I had to do my measurements. I was a 40-inch waist.
Oh.
And which is kind of scary because I now know that the health risks of having, you know, so much fat around your belly is huge, especially for women. And I didn't even think about that. I mean, I was worried about the brain fog and, you know, just being so tired. I wasn't even thinking about the long-term health risks of what I was doing. And I put in the application. Anyway, there were, from what I understand, like 350 applications for 20 spots. I didn't get in. I was devastated. But about a week or two later, I got a notification to say that they've ranked sort of additional applications. And I was one of the next 20 selected to work out with the Wonder Woman coach. I didn't even know what the Wonder Woman was. I just knew I was applying to Michelle's transformation program. And I was like, okay, this sounds great. And ultimately, I started January 3rd, 2022. And it was literally like winning the lottery.
Right. So what's your waist at now, Jody?
I'm currently at today, actually 26.75 inches.
It's amazing.
It's the smallest it's been, actually. Even when I finished the diet phase that I was in October last year, I think I was like at 27 and a quarter. But I've been really focusing on body recomposition and it blows my mind because my weight is around the same. My body has changed. I've built muscle. My waist has gone small. I'm like, how does the body even do this?
Well, let's go back to your doctor because I really got to give your doctor kudos for how she approached it because so many doctors will not talk to their clients about nutrition. Yet food is medicine.
Like
at the core, food is medicine. And so many of us aren't looking at food as medicine. We're looking at, well, how I change my eating will create the outcome that I want, basically weight loss. Instead of looking at it, how can food nourish my body? How can food change how I feel in my skin, how I am able to show up in the world with clear head and energy. And this was such a, this was one of the hardest parts about the pandemic for me, was the lack of communication and talking about where our responsibility as individuals lie to take care of our bodies in ways that are going to promote health. Because so often people are just looking to lose weight. They're not actually looking to get healthy. They're just looking to lose weight. And then once they lose weight, then they repeat it again because, you know, that's all they were focused on. They weren't actually focused on creating better health. And this is why, you know, I love what Michelle does in the world. So I'll link all of Michelle. It's Michelle McDonald. She created the Wonder Woman program, and she's really passionate about showing women what's possible for us as we age, 40s and beyond, right? You're in your 50s, I'm turning 51. And it doesn't have to be the way we've been told or programmed around what it looks like to age. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen that meme of like the Golden Girls going around?
No.
Anyways, it compares the Golden Girls to like the Sex and the City women and how different ages now, right? Like our generation, we would have looked like the Golden Girls. And that's not how it is today. So really kudos to your doctor for approaching it from a nutrition standpoint. And then for you, excuse me, to follow those breadcrumbs. So you didn't have the identity of being a healthy person. I love that you also said that you had a trainer that was really just an accountability buddy to get you to the gym.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of coaches out there that don't really get results. They're just, they become these expensive accountability buddies. So what,
I've actually,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I've actually just learned the difference through being, you know, having a coach, the difference between a coach and a trainer when it comes to all of that. I mean, you know, and you're a coach, but it's just, I had no idea. It's the difference is mind blowing. And I think that's a whole topic on its own, but it's
because
amazing.
You can do the exercise and you can eat the food, but ultimately, if you don't start looking at the identity that you're working from, nothing changes. And what I've witnessed in you and what I witness in so many of the women that Michelle and her team of Wonder Women work with is the shift of identity from being this unfit, unhealthy person into stepping into their inner athlete. And it shifts from wanting to lose weight to actually, I am living and embodying what it means to be a fit, healthy person on all levels. It becomes a priority. You became a priority in your life. Your health and well-being became a priority. So I would love to hear kind of some of them, because I know you had them, some of the main stumbling blocks that you bumped up against, because as you're starting to shift your identity, it bumps up against the stories you've been telling yourself about yourself for most of your life. And many of those stories were given to us by other people, thank you, that we don't even question, right? They're just narratives that are running in the background. So I would love to hear about some of the major ones that you had to overcome to be in the position that you're in now.
I think probably one of the biggest ones that I had to overcome was literally I lived my life in a state of self-loathing. Mm-hmm. Because I finally picked up a mindset book when I started working with Wonder Woman, I came to recognize what it was, why, like, and I've never questioned that, but I just had this terrible sense of self-loathing. Like I just hated everything about myself. Yes, I'm successful in business, you know, great friends, you know, all that kind of thing, great kids, but like, I just didn't love who I was. And what I uncovered is a lot of that stemmed actually from my childhood. Poor relationship with my mother. And as you say, other people talk to you in a certain way that just kind of sticks with you throughout your life. And I'm very grateful that I was able to sort of uncover and figure that out, because what I did is I let other people, or my mother's judgment of me, basically determine how I felt about myself. Mm-hmm. So I self-sabotaged like pretty much my entire life. This is the first time where, as I said, I've read the mindset books. I did the hard work to try and understand, you know, why was my mindset this way? And, you know, even kind of going back to wanting to lose weight, for me, it was always about losing weight, but I could never maintain that weight loss purely because of that identity, because I was not worthy of looking the way that I did after I'd lost weight, that kind of thing. And so this time it was very different. I wanted to get healthy. I wanted to be able to clear the brain fog. I wanted to be able to go for the hikes and not be exhausted. I wanted to walk upstairs and not be out of breath. And so what I did was really focused on one day at a time. But it was probably not for about a good 3 to 4 months into the program until I really figured out what some of the roadblocks were in my life, because at that point I was still just doing the work, like literally showing up every day for myself. And where I say sort of I prioritize myself, I actually have in my calendar to this day, every morning is blocked off for my workout, and nothing, it's like any other meeting that I have, nothing is going to change that. So I just did the work day in, day out. And eventually I kind of came to the point where I was like, ah, this is what it is. This is the aha moment I was waiting for, is why did I always self-sabotage and sort of really come into that? So I'm grateful, however, that because I felt so poorly just generally about myself, that I did not give up. I think a lot of people start these programs, whatever it is, you know, whether it's the Wonder Woman or any other kind of health journey that they go on, and they give up on themselves because they figure out that, you know, they're either not, things aren't moving quick enough. For me, I never set a timeline. I was like, I just want to come in here, do the work, and figure out how I can get to be the best person that I can be. And it's still evolving. I'm still learning about myself. And, you know, you and I had some great conversations last week. And, you know, and I continue to learn and take away all these nuggets. But ultimately, it's very much about putting myself first, understanding how I felt about myself back, you know, for the last 50 years, and how that's changing going forward. And when you talk about identity, it's phenomenal, because I now identify as an athlete. I do all these things that an athlete would do. And what's crazy is I did 4 half marathons between 2007 and 2009, I think it was. And even back then, I never considered myself an athlete, even though it's athletes that would do a half marathon, but I just didn't have that identity until today.
It's amazing. Yeah, see, women like you and I, and most A-type driven, ambitious women, they're very good at ticking the boxes. And when you start diving into the mindset work and the beliefs that are driving you, it's not about ticking the box. It's about sitting in the discomfort of the things you're discovering about yourself and realizing how much of your life has been a lie, right? You believe things that weren't the truth. And so many women that I work with, you know, we pick up a lot of stories from our moms, especially around our body image. And, you know, back in the day, it was so common for people to comment. I mean, we still comment on people's bodies, but back then it was like a real thing. It was, you know, it was 20 times worse than it is today. What kind of relationship did your mom have with her body? What was modeled to you growing up? What did you watch with her?
My mother was on diet after diet after diet after diet. And that's all I remember. She was also a smoker, which, you know, that was not my thing. But I just watched her, you know, really be uncomfortable. And she also had like this huge belly, you know. I think it was probably not until maybe the last 5 or so years of her life that she was constantly overweight or whatever. And although she didn't comment necessarily on my body or being overweight or anything like that, she made some comments to me that were about the way I looked. Mm-hmm. And to me, that just, you know, that stuck in the back of my head. I mean, I still remember that day. I remember what I was wearing, how I felt, and how it felt after she made, you know, some really terrible comments towards me. And I think I let that really drive sort of how I lived my life. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, what she told me must be true. And, you know, so I think you make a very good point. There is so much, you know, today, like, you know, all of us, like we do something silly and oh, you're such an idiot. And now when I say those types of things, I actually stop. It's like, that's not true. You made a mistake. You're learning. You did something. And so one of the coaches that I had, Caroline Drury, she always used to say, just ask yourself when you say something, is that true? And if it's not, make sure you find some other words to share or another way to phrase something that you're saying that's negative about yourself. And I do that all the time.
So that young girl, that young version of you, when your mom made whatever comments about you, when you can see her in your mind's eye, was there anything wrong with her then?
No.
Nothing. Right? One of the exercises that I used to have clients do, I still do every now and then, is to go back at a past version of themselves and look at it. Like pull out pictures. So if you're listening, you can do this. Pull out a picture of yourself and remember the words you were saying to yourself back then. Because most of my clients will find that they were like, you know, chastising themselves about their weight or, you know, the size of their butt or whatever it is. And they now look at that picture of themselves and are like, what was I thinking? Like I had an amazing body. There was nothing wrong with me.
Yeah. I don't even understand. Like as a teenager, went to Weight Watchers. I mean, it existed back then, obviously in a different form. And I look back at pictures and I'm like, why?
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand that.
Exactly. So we get this like skewed view of ourselves based on other people's interpretations, right? We're pulling in other people's interpretations and then creating this, you know, false reality about ourselves. But a big part of this is so many women are walking around and they're not even aware of the things that they're saying to themselves. They're not aware of the negative self-talk. So even coming into that place of you having that awareness, I'm curious to know, you know, when you said you got into a lot of self-loathing, how specifically did that show up in your life? Like what was the problems that it was creating? If we were to look at it externally, what kind of things were happening in your life?
I would always put myself down in not just in my brain, but literally in front of my husband, in front of my kids. And I'm like, oh my, like when I look back at that now, I'm like, you don't do that kind of thing, you know? So just really always putting myself down. I ended up doing a lot of emotional eating where I would literally, you know, grab the bag of chips or, you know, grab unhealthy food, just because it was there and because I wanted to sort of drown those emotions or what I was feeling. So that's a lot of what I did, but definitely very much so putting myself down and, you know, always just berating myself. And, you know, the way that I look at things now, very, very differently. I'm like, I would never talk to a friend that way. Why would I talk to myself that way? And so I always come at things now very much from a point of kindness and you know, acceptance. It's like, oh, okay, you're having a tough day today. You know, let's look at what we can do, or why don't we go for a walk or whatever. Like there are so many different ways that you can address any kind of challenge that you're facing. It doesn't have to be about putting yourself down. And like, literally, this is the first time in my life that I actually love who I am and, you know, appreciate how far I've come and ultimately that I'm so excited actually about the future that I have ahead of me, because I've already seen so many changes. And I'm like, if these are the changes that I've had, obviously I realize this is always a big change to start, but if these are some of the changes that I've had, imagine what the future is going to be like. So it's actually exciting. Whereas I think before you get to a point of, you know, do I even really want to be here? You know, like, I don't love me. Why do I even want to be here?
Life feels heavy. What were the, how did that show up in your marriage?
You know, I'm very grateful. I have a fantastic marriage. I met my husband when I was 15. He was 18. We've been married now 30 years, which just blows my mind considering that I'm only 52. And he's always been supportive. That's the one thing that I can say is he has always been very much on the positive end of things. He's just a huge shining light in my life. And
How did that hold you back inside your marriage?
Because, you know, it didn't necessarily hold me back, but I just could never understand how can he see me in such a beautiful way when I couldn't see myself that way. And now when I look back, I'm so grateful that he did, because he never gave up on that. He never listened to the crap that I was telling myself. Mm-hmm. You know, he was always there, and, you know, he loved what he saw back then. He loves what he sees today. And, you know, like we've done this together. And in fact, about 2 weeks into my whole journey, he decided, okay, you know what, we've always worked out together, but he decided to actually get back in touch with the trainer that we had been working with before we moved to Montreal. And between us, we lost over 100 pounds. So, and not only that, like, it's just, you know, we're doing these healthy habits together. We're eating more protein than I've ever eaten in my entire life. Like, why isn't this a message that people learn automatically when they're in high school, you know, when they're like starting to plan meals or figure out, you know, going out for a dinner, like, get your protein in. Like, who knew that it could be such
a game? We don't teach things in school that people actually need in real life. Come on now. We teach algebraic, you know, equations and stuff, things that, you know, most people will never use. To see you and your husband, though, like, living such radiant and vibrant lives, you know, I'm just watching from the outside in, right? I know you guys have been together for a long time, but it's like when I look at pictures of you guys in the past, because you posted some, versus pictures now, it's like the depth of the love that you have for each other is just like next level. That's why I was asking about your marriage, because I have no doubt you probably drove your husband crazy. He loved you, but he probably hated every single day watching you hate on yourself when he saw you as this amazing, phenomenal woman. So to now be able to see you being that person he always saw, and it has nothing to do with your weight. It's the energy that's radiating from the inside out, and to see him on board with that, you know, you guys have just added God knows how many years to your life, which is,
because I know you. It is phenomenal. And the other thing that's interesting is I still remember, actually, I was going on a trip somewhere. He was driving me to the airport, and I'd meant to take a particular bag and I took a different bag. And on the way driving to the airport, and this is only maybe probably 4 or 5 months ago, and I said, I'm such an idiot, I should have done whatever. He's like, we don't talk to ourselves like that. So I'm like, oh, wow. You know, so it's great because he's seen this whole change in me. And so now he can actually call me out on you know, situations where I happen to kind of go back and talk down to myself, which is thankfully not very often now. And when I do, as I say, I reframe things. But I thought that was interesting. We had a really good laugh about that. And so it's great to have somebody that can actually support you on a journey like this, because especially if they've been so supportive of you all the time. And as you say, he now sees me, or I now see myself as he's always seen me, which is just amazing.
It's imperative that you have people on your journey and that you surround yourself with people that are on similar journeys. And this is something that a lot of women go through, is as they change and evolve, whether they're physically changing or just emotionally changing. The reality is that some relationships are going to fall away because people have gotten used to you being a certain way, and it's disruptive to them when you change. You know, I've lived my life this way now for so long, you know, I'm used to being the weirdo. There's a story that I tell. We went to a wedding in Zihuatanejo. We're out in the middle of the jungle and everybody's ordering pizza. And I'm like, can I have salad and chicken, please? Like, it's just been my life for so long, right? I didn't ever worry about what would people think of me for how I was eating, because it, you know, it was just my choice. But for a lot of people, when they do change their habits and behaviors, it does impact, it impacts the relationships around them. So I'm really happy that your hubby has been on board with you and just jumped on. Have you experienced that in your life? Some relationships falling away?
Definitely. I've had two very good friendships fall away over the last 2 years, and you know, they've given different reasons for them falling away, but the reasons don't quite align with, you know, the reality of where life is. And ultimately, I think that there is a huge jump in growth, personal growth, again, mindset books, and just doing all the self work stuff that I've never done. I've never worked on myself. I've worked on everybody else and helped everybody else, but for the first time, actually putting me first, working on me. And so, you know, I see so many sort of quotes about this, but it's really as we sort of move on and we elevate ourselves to a whole different level, and we're in this growth, and when others are still stagnant, there is so much misalignment between the two parties that you no longer have the things in common. But, you know, I'm so grateful because Michelle has built a beautiful community in the Wonder Woman, and I've made some of the best friends of my life through this community. And we make an effort to connect, to hang out. In a few weeks, we're all traveling to Chicago so that we can all get together. I mean, who does that, right? It's fantastic. So I think, as I say, people are always there sort of for a reason, a season, you know, that kind of thing. And you realize that people are not always, even though they may be, you know, some of your closest friends, they're not always going to be there. And they're not always going to support you on a journey, especially if they're in the same place that they were, you know, a year to 5 years ago. And you're just continuing to sort of evolve and come into your own. There's just too much differences, or too many differences between you and them.
Agree. There's something that women get into, and most women aren't even consciously aware of this, but because we've been, so many of us, programmed from a young age to not love our bodies. Like, you're the weirdo if you love your body or like yourself, right? We've learned to be in this place of martyrdom. Women have learned that martyrdom pattern. And at core need that we all have as humans, there's three of them: love, safety, and belonging. And what women don't often realize is they get into this toxic bonding about their dislike of their lives, their relationships, their bodies, or whatever. And when you start to change that, you're not bonding over the same things anymore. But that also takes a tremendous amount of courage. And this is why a lot of people get pulled back into those old behaviors. Because if you don't have a community surrounding you, it can feel very lonely as you're eating chicken and salad out in the middle of the jungle in Mexico, right? It can feel lonely. This is why we need that support. But it's also looking at, okay, wait a minute, what is it that I'm actually looking for in these relationships? And am I keeping myself stuck and feeling this way about myself? Because if I change, I'm going to feel like I'm going to lose that sense of belonging or lose that sense of safety or love from these people that I care about. But what it comes back to is, are you willing to love yourself more than making other people happy and trusting you'll find those people? What I would love to hear from you is how people can get over their excuses. Because as I said, I've had a lot of conversations in the past weeks with people really committed to their excuses. And you can't have both. You can't be committed to your excuses and be committed to creating what you want at the same time. You can only choose one or the other. And you can do all the mindset work around it, but ultimately, only you can get your ass off the couch and put in the work. Now, when you guys go and look at Jodi's before pictures, you weren't a healthy woman, Jodi. And at the beginning of your journey, I'm assuming that this was really uncomfortable to be doing squats and deadlifts. And it was, must have been hard. There might even have been times you cried. I know Trish did, because you have to work through the discomfort. It gets harder before it gets easier. And that's when those excuses want to start pulling you back. So I would love for you to talk about how you've moved past the excuses to really put that line in the sand and say, like, I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing this for my health. And even though I don't feel like doing it, because even I have days of like, I don't feel like training today and I go do it. How you've moved past those excuses to create what you've really wanted for yourself.
I think there's a few things. The first is creating habits. So again, one of the books that we read was Atomic Habits. And I took a highlighter. I may as well have just highlighted the entire book because it's so freaking good. So what I wanted to do was really set myself up to actually make good habits so that no matter what my day looked like, I was in a routine. So same as I wake up every day and I brush my teeth, working out, planning my food, doing all exercising, all those things were going to be habits. So that was the very first thing that I did. Then what I did is really focused on what my outcomes were. I still remember actually at the end of February last year, we had to write down sort of what our goals were. What did we want for like by the end of the year? And all of them, actually not one of them, dealt with weight loss, not a single one. It was around being able to wake up from sleep and have the energy to go and work out. Because even 2 months into it, I did not have the energy to work out, but I still did the work and stepped into that discomfort. The other one was being able to go for a hike and not feel winded by the end of it, to be able to do my workouts and not feel like I'm going to actually die at the end of it. So these were like some of the goals that I'd set. The other one, which I still laugh at, this was number 5, was to have shoulder caps. I'm like, amidst everything else, I'm like, okay, I want shoulder caps. I'm like, that's the weirdest thing. And of course, I'm so glad I wrote that down. But one of the biggest things that I really did in terms of, you know, dealing with excuses is I said, what's my why? Why do I want to be this? You know, why do I want to do this work? Why do I want to change the way I am? Why do I want to, you know, really bring out that inner athlete in me and just start to learn to love myself, learn who I am, you know, and embrace all of that. And ultimately, it came down to my family. Mm-hmm. My oldest kid is on the autism spectrum. And if anybody has any kind of kids with any special needs, you know that you want to be here forever to help them. And I wanted to make sure that I could do that. So every day, and I still do this to this day, is I remind myself about my why. What is the reason why I'm doing this? And it's not, yeah, I needed to get healthy. I needed to get out of the brain fog. But ultimately, those were short-term sort of impacts or benefits of doing the work that I'm doing. The long-term was to be here and around for my family. And I remind myself of that every day. And even, for example, this past weekend, you know, coming back from the event that you and I attended, and we had a tea. It was my husband's birthday. It was my husband's birthday on Thursday. He was less than impressed, but we had a tea because there's a group of men that we've been getting together literally every birthday, because all of them, there's like 6 of them, all had a birthday within the same week. So it was the first time since the start of the pandemic that we actually got together to celebrate them. So I'm sitting at this table. There are cakes. There's, you know, the most amazing food, pizza, like you name it, in front of you. But then there was also like some vegetables and whatever. And obviously the people that were hosting it knew that I've been on this journey. And so they wanted to make sure that there was a blend of everything. And I reminded myself of my why, and that I'm not going to be eating the cake as much as I want to. I had probably a piece that big of birthday cake, you know, symbolic, whatever, eating the birthday cake with the guys. But ultimately, it's my why that is more important and stronger than my excuses. And I think that's a big part of me showing up for myself, is because of that why.
It's powerful. Yeah, my why around, you know, going to the gym and staying healthy is I want to live a limitless life. So if somebody says, hey, like, we got tickets and we're going to go climb a mountain next week, I'd be like, okay, let's go. Right. I would never doubt my ability to do it. Doesn't mean it wouldn't be hard, but I don't ever want to say no to any type of physical adventure or opportunity, regardless of my age. I want to feel strong and trusting of my body that I can go do those things. And for me, that's so empowering, right? Like, I plan to be on this planet till at least 100. So, you know, I don't want to have somebody helping me get off the toilet seat if I can avoid it at all costs, yeah. Right? So a lot of my why is not about who I am today, but who I want to be 10, 20, 30 years from now, how I want to be living my life. I'm investing in that future version of me, which is really powerful. And like, kids are a lot of work. And one day I expect to probably have grandbabies and I don't want to be exhausted, right? I don't want to be exhausted helping my kids out with their kids. So getting into that why is so important, because otherwise you'll always find the excuses to not, because you're living in who you are today versus what it is you want for yourself in the future. So
I think there's even another piece to this, because it's not just the excuses, because I live my entire life like making excuses why I couldn't do something, like, you know, all the time. And again, it was never in the work side. It was always in sort of the personal side of things. But I think the other thing that's really interesting is it's telling lies to ourselves as well.
Yes.
Like, I think I spent so much time, like even when I think about after my doctor said, you know, get your nutrition in check. And I was like, okay, I'm going on Weight Watchers or whatever. Yeah, I wasn't 100% honest with the food that I was eating, whatever. Of course it didn't work, you know, but I also didn't understand about nutrition. It was more about eating, you know, calories in, calories out. And for the first time in my life, I know that that's bullshit. You know, I've never eaten more in my entire life than I have until I've been like now in maintenance. And it's the first time ever that I've maintained my weight. My body is changing. You know, it's just, it's phenomenal. And that's all because of the nutritional breakdown of the food that I eat. Yeah. And I had no idea how important that was. So
we don't get educated around it.
Nope.
We don't get educated around it. And there's so many mixed messages about nutrition and people get confused, right?
Yeah.
People are very confused. So, you know, my advice to someone is if you're really wanting to change your weight, your body composition, you have to start following people and paying attention to people who have what you want. Not, yeah. You know, like, and this has always been my thing. Like, I'm not going to take health advice from somebody who's unhealthy and it physically shows on them. I'm always going to take health advice from people who are embodying this type of lifestyle and who are really committed to themselves and living well. And, you know, a big part of habits is making that commitment to yourself and then staying in integrity, right? Keeping those promises that you make to yourself.
Exactly.
And having compassion along the way too, right? Because we're not going for perfection. That can also
be
a trap in this lifestyle, right? But yeah, just amazing, Jody. So you've lost 55 pounds total. You're still working at it. This is just totally your lifestyle. You're up every morning and off to the gym. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I need to train because Jody's training. It was fun training with you. I was supposed to take a week off and I ended up not. And I pretty much trained every day.
That's the great thing of being in the same kind of environment as other people that have the same good habits as you, right?
Yeah, it's not a chore for me to exercise. Oh. It's not a chore. And I do like my weeks off when I take them off. My body really loves it and appreciates it. But I don't worry about taking a week off because it's so much a part of who I am and my identity. I just, you know, I don't worry about not going back to the gym. And I know a lot of people do, right? Oh, if I take time off, I'll never get back, which again, yeah. Is just a story that we can so often get into. So what would you like to leave everybody with? We've been chatting for almost an hour here, wow. Tons of nuggets. I know, right? We could just keep going forever. What would you want to leave somebody with who is, you know, struggling with their health, been yo-yo dieting? What do you want them to know? What do you want to leave them with?
I think the most important thing is that it's never too late to change your life. I think that's the key thing. So many people think, oh, you know, I'm officially actually in menopause. And I think people think, oh, I'm kind of in perimenopause, menopause, it's downhill from here. No, it's not. Like, I'm so excited. Like, I've got like this exciting future ahead of me. And I can't wait to kind of see how things unfold year after year after year. And I think just realize that it's never too late. Even I look at Joan, Michelle's mom, as an example, train with Joan. It's phenomenal. She started, you know, her own transformation at 70. It's never, ever too late to start and take care of yourself.
I wholeheartedly agree. Well, Jody, I'm sure that this conversation is going to inspire and hopefully move people past inspiration, right? Like, I love that you're all listening to this and feeling inspired, but the best way you can pay it forward is by taking action, right? Because yeah. Watching other people exercise is not going to get your ass fit. It's just not. You have to make a decision in your life that you want to change. You have to be willing to put the habits in place. You may have to invest in somebody to support you. That's the other big thing. You know, I think people waste so much time trying to go it alone, and it's so much easier when you get the support that you need. So I will put all the information down below for the Wonder Woman, for my coach and Jody's coach, Michelle. We'll put Train with Joan down there and Trish, so that you can find these other inspiring women online so that you can see that it is possible for you. So don't let anybody tell you that it's not. Jody, I appreciate you being here and spending this time with me so much better than me just talking to a screen by myself.
Oh, this is so great. You and I have had so many great conversations, and I love that we can kind of take, you know, a small nugget of that and share it with others. And hopefully people will see that it's just, there's an opportunity to change your life.
Well, I just think you're phenomenal. I've been an athlete my whole life. This is my lifestyle. And so it feels relatively easy to me. But when I see somebody like you or Joan or Trish, and you've really had to take yourself from one identity into another whole identity, I have so much admiration for that, because it takes so much courage to say, I am going to completely transform my life and my body. I'm going to do uncomfortable things. I'm going to bump up against my own stories and beliefs, and I'm going to keep going because I want what I want. So,
yeah. Thank you.
It inspires me. So thanks for being here, Jody. Thank you everybody for tuning in. If you love this episode and you think somebody needs to hear it, by all means, please share it. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast if you want to hear more. And please make sure that you connect with Jody on Instagram. Her story is completely inspiring. She shares pictures every week and just words of wisdom. And she's connected to a really amazing community. So I'm sure you'll find even more amazing women just from connecting with her. So thanks for being here. I appreciate you tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next episode.